The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we have us a World Series, folks. We have had a good couple of games here. I mean, so far it's actually been a pretty solid World Series. But pretty much in every win, whoever wins, it's an ass kicking. But we finally had us a real legit game last night. But let's start off with Game 4, which was a couple nights ago. Houston ended up basically returning the favor that Philly gave them in Game 3. Houston just absolutely dominated the Phillies in Game 4. They ended up getting the win 5-0. They ended up throwing a combined no-hitter. Christian Javier, their starting pitcher, he finally had a great game right out the gate for them, because that's pretty much what the Astros, you know, the Astros have had the best starting pitching all season long, but it has not shown in the World Series so far. But it really did with Christian Javier. He had basically a perfect game. Then he was taken out in the seventh inning, and their relief pitchers came in, and they also had perfect games. So it was a combined no-hitter. And then also in Game 4, really, the main offensive bat that you had really was Bregman, which started in the fifth inning, and he really just opened it wide open. You know, it was actually I think it was like 1-0 to start. Then it got up to 3-0, and then 5-0, and that's really what happened, was Bregman really just opened it up in the fifth inning, and they just ran away with that one. And so they ended up tying the series. Then last night was Game 5, and it was a legit baseball game. This is exactly what baseball is all about. Houston ended up getting the win 3-2, but it was a battle from start to finish. You know, the first inning, the Astros ended up getting on the board 1-0. But then the Phillies were able to come right back. Schwarber comes right up to bat and just bombs one out of the park. And so it's tied at 1 for a little while, but then Houston gets the lead 2-1, and then Houston just is able to kind of pull away 3-1. And the Phillies did make a little bit of a run. It looked like they were going to kind of make it an interesting game, but the Astros pitching really was able to overcome every instance they were able to get out of. Justin Verlander actually finally got his very first career World Series win. He had a pretty solid outing yesterday. It wasn't great, but hey, good for him. He finally got a win, because that's basically been the only issue with his career. I mean, his overall career is straight up Hall of Fame career for sure. But really, the only mark on his career is that he hadn't, not only had he not got a World Series win, but he leads with the worst ERA in World Series history. So that says a lot for being one of the greatest pitchers of all time. So good for him. He finally got his first win. And last night was really all about Jeremy Peña. He had 2 RBIs and a home run, and he was really just why they got the win last night. Game 6 is going to be tomorrow, Saturday. And so the Astros are up right now 3-2 on the Phillies, so they could close it out on Saturday. If the Phillies get the win, Game 7 will be on Sunday. So we will have us a World Series winner on Monday's show. But I'm pretty sure, I kind of have a feeling, just kind of the way the last couple of games have gone, I kind of feel like the Astros are going to close it out on Saturday. But really, anything can happen with this Phillies team. But you could just kind of tell these last 2 games, the Phillies have had the wind taken out of their sails, and they just really haven't been able to get it going. So I think the Astros are going to close it out tomorrow and Saturday. We did have the announcement of Gold Glove winners. Let's go ahead and go through that, starting with catcher. This year in the AL, in the American League, Jose Trevino of the New York Yankees, he won his first Gold Glove. And in the National League, JT Realmuto of the Phillies won his second Gold Glove. Then at first base in the American League, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays won his first Gold Glove. And in the National League, Christian Walker of the Arizona Diamondbacks won his first Gold Glove. Then at second base in the American League, we had Andrés Giménez of the Cleveland Guardians. He won his first Gold Glove. In the National League, Brendan Rodgers of the Colorado Rockies won his first Gold Glove. So we've got a lot of first-timers already, and we haven't even hit the halfway point of the list here. Then at shortstop in the American League, Jeremy Peña of the Houston Astros won his first Gold Glove. In the National League, Dansby Swanson of the Atlanta Braves won his first Gold Glove. Then at third base in the American League, Ramon Urias of the Baltimore Orioles won his first Gold Glove. And in the National League, Nolan Arenado of the St. Louis Cardinals won his 10th Gold Glove. Then at left field in the American League, Stephen Kwan of the Cleveland Guardians won his first Gold Glove. And in the National League, Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs won his first Gold Glove. Then at center field in the American League, we had Miles Straw of the Cleveland Guardians win his first Gold Glove. And in the National League, Trent Grisham of the San Diego Padres won his second Gold Glove. Then in right field, the American League, Kyle Mother Tucker of the Houston Astros won his first Gold Glove. And the National League, Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers won his 6th Gold Glove. Then at pitcher in the American League, we had Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Guardians win his first Gold Glove. And then in the National League, Max Fried of the Atlanta Braves won his 3rd Gold Glove. Then at the utility position in the American League, DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees won his 4th Gold Glove. And in the National League, Brendan Donovan of the St. Louis Cardinals won his first Gold Glove. So we had a lot of first-timers this year. So it just kind of goes to show you while we still have a lot of the old guys hanging around, still playing great, you know, we've still got Mike Trout doing his thing, but we also have a whole bunch of new guys coming up the pipeline, and they're playing great baseball. Hell, they continue to play great baseball. I did mention Jeremy Peña. He was huge in last night's World Series game. He was the ALCS MVP. It's possible he could end up being the World Series MVP, depending on how the next couple of games go. But, it's kind of like you could tell the passing of the torch is happening, not only in baseball, but in football as well, too. You could really see it with, how this season it's a down year for both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Still too early to kind of count them out of the playoff race, of course. But hey, you could just see the changing of the guard, and it's happening in both baseball and football right now, and it's great to see. And speaking of baseball, and since the end of the season is upon us, it's going to end this weekend. No matter what, we are going to have us a new World Series champion. Last year's champion, of course, was the Atlanta Braves, and they did not repeat. So another year with no repeat champion. But unlike most other analysts or people who give opinions on sports, I am actually, every season when I give my predictions, I'm actually going to do a run back and see either how right I was or how horribly wrong I was. Because I'm the type of person where I really could not give a shit if I'm wrong. It's not a big deal to me if I'm wrong. If I'm right, then cool. If I'm wrong, then whatever. It's really not a big deal. And looking over my predictions from the beginning of the season, well, let me tell you, I was really fucking wrong, especially when it came to the World Series. So let's get right into it. So I predicted that the San Francisco Giants were going to win the National League West. That was wishful thinking from my stupid fan ass right there. Ended up being the Los Angeles Dodgers. they actually ended up annihilating the National League West this year. So that was my wishful thinking. Now, granted, the San Francisco Giants were coming off of a spectacular season last year. They did get a lot of wins. They were coming off of a over 100-win season. So they were coming off of a great season. It's just they didn't do anything in the offseason. And the Dodgers are the Dodgers, so of course they won. So I was wrong there. Then in the National League East, I predicted that the Braves would win that division, and the Braves ended up winning that division. It was a battle all the way till the very end, but the Braves won it at the last week of the season. Then in the National League Central, I predicted that the St. Louis Cardinals would win that division, and the St. Louis Cardinals ended up winning that division. So my wild card picks ended up being the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Milwaukee Brewers. I was only right about one of those. The actual wild cards ended up being the New York Mets, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the San Diego Padres. So overall in the National League, I didn't do too terrible. That Giants prediction was pretty fucking bad. But guess what? That Giants prediction comes right around when we get to my playoff predictions, because I do go over every fucking prediction I made here, guys. So moving to the American League West, I actually had the Los Angeles Angels winning that division. It ended up being the Astros in a landslide. Then in the American League East, I actually thought the Tampa Bay Rays were going to win that division, and the New York Yankees ended up winning it. And really, my thing with the Yankees was I did not believe in their starting pitching, and their starting pitching actually proved to be very solid this year. So good for the Yankees. And then in the American League Central, I predicted that the Minnesota Twins would win that division, and it ended up being the Cleveland Guardians. And then in the wild card, I had the Chicago White Sox, the Houston Astros, and the Boston Red Sox. Ended up being the Toronto Blue Jays, Seattle Mariners, and the Tampa Bay Rays. So all of my American League picks were shit. So that was terrible predictions right there from me. So then in the playoffs, let's just skip right to the championship series. For my NLCS, I actually predicted that it was going to be my San Francisco Giants versus the Atlanta Braves. It actually ended up being the Philadelphia Phillies versus the San Diego Padres. Now, I'd like to find out who actually picked those two teams, because I'm betting like 99.9% of motherfuckers who made predictions did not have them as their, even one of those teams as their NLCS. So I'm sure I'm not in the minority there, but that Giants prediction of mine was such a fucking stupid pick right there. Then in the ALCS, I had the Los Angeles Angels versus the Tampa Bay Rays. Ended up really being the New York Yankees versus the Houston Astros. So I was completely wrong there. And then so my World Series prediction was going to be the San Francisco Giants versus the Los Angeles Angels, which, wow, that was completely off. Both of those teams just sucked fucking ass this year. Complete and utter fucking disappointments. Absolute fucking trash right there. So the actual World Series, as we know currently right now, is the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Houston Astros. My champion was going to be the San Francisco Giants. That's who I picked. Jokes on me. Looks like it's going to be either the Phillies or the Astros. I'm going with the Astros, of course, but I mean, you cannot count the Phillies out of this one at all. So that's a recap on my 2022 baseball predictions from back in, what, March? Remember they had a strike. We even started the season a week or two late. So it's actually crazy to see, because remember how pissed off and annoyed baseball fans were. They're like, I'm not going to be watching baseball this year. And, turned out, that did not happen. And, here we are at, World Series is going to be coming to a close this weekend, and we will have us a new champion come Monday. So we'll see who that is, but it's definitely not going to be who I predicted as the San Francisco Giants. No, my shitty ass Giants they just went down the toilet this year, and we'll see what happens in the offseason. I'm hoping they can make a good run at Aaron Judge, even though I'm, like, very positive Aaron Judge is still going to remain with the Yankees. But let's turn to football now. We had a Thursday night football game last night between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans. Kind of odd, just because, you know, the World Series right now is the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Houston Astros. So last night, while Game 5 was being played in Philadelphia, this horrible Thursday night football game was being played in Houston. I'm sure most of these fans that attended this football game last night would have much rather have enjoyed to see a baseball game in Houston rather than this football game. As a matter of fact, before I get into the actual football game, I'm just going to give like a PSA to the NFL and the schedule makers from all NFL fans. And I'm sure this includes Houston Texans fans as well, but stop torturing us to death with the Houston Texans as the only game on TV. I understand. Here in Austin, because I live here in Austin, Texas, so usually, you know, you get a couple of games on, and of course, almost always, the Texans are one of the options. But on occasions, the Texans are not the option. You know why? Because not even Texas gives a fuck about the Texans. Nobody gives a shit about the Texans. Houston barely gives a shit about the Texans, okay? And they almost never put a good product on the field. So until this team actually puts like a consistently decent product on the field, we need to stop putting the Texans on as a Monday night football option, a Sunday night football option, or even a Thursday night football option. The Houston Texans should never, ever, under any circumstance other than the playoffs, be the only game on at that current point in time, because the Texans are trash. They don't have, like, it's one thing when the Cleveland Browns get like a Monday night football game here or there, or a Thursday night football game. You know why? Because the Cleveland Browns actually are a historical team. They've been around since the beginning of the NFL. Beginning, even before the NFL became the NFL, the Browns actually are a historic team. So when the Browns get any type of clout, they deserve it because they have some type of history. And then let's use like a recent team, like the New Orleans Saints, for example. Now, the New Orleans Saints actually used to be a laughingstock team who nobody ever wanted to watch. Then they finally became a legit team. You know, they won a Super Bowl. They had Drew Brees. And they were a good team for about like 8 to 10 years. So when you have a good, like, decent run like that, you're allowed some type of clout to actually be a main team on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. The Texans haven't done shit. They haven't even come close to a Super Bowl. They don't ever make the playoffs, and when they do, it's usually like a 45-0 loss on their end. So stop, for the love of God, torturing us with the Texans as being the marquee game of the week at any fucking point. I don't care if it's Thursday night football. I know usually Thursday night football is a trash game for the most part, but don't give us the Texans. Stop giving us the Texans. And then to top it off, you give us the Texans versus the Eagles. And I know before the schedule is made, nobody can predict what's going to happen during these games. But the Eagles are the only undefeated team in the league, and they remain the only undefeated team in the league because they were playing the Texans last night. Now, the game started off not bad. Not bad at all, because the Texans, they are a team that has a little bit of fight in them. Just like the Lions, they both have a little bit of fight in them, but chances are they're going to lose the game anyways. Now, the Eagles ended up getting the win 29-17, of course. Now, that's actually a low score in my opinion, just because the Eagles should have won by a lot more, but for some reason, the first half was actually very close. We went into halftime actually tied at 14. So overall, the first half wasn't too bad from the Texans, but then it just got away from them, and the Eagles just ran away with it. Jalen Hurts had a very solid game. He went 21 for 27, 243 yards and 2 touchdowns. But the only player on the Texans who's had a consistent year so far is their running back, Damian Pierce. He went for 139 yards last night, and he's pretty much their only guy this season. who's been good at all and worth the time to watch. So that was last night's game. But seriously, NFL, you got to stop putting the Texans on as the only option for any of us. Like, that should never, ever, ever happen where we're stuck with the Texans. Stop it. I mean, even before this season began, I don't know what made them think, oh, let's put the Texans on as Thursday Night Football. I mean, we knew they weren't going to have Deshaun Watson, so they didn't even have, like, a halfway decent player to watch last night. They don't have anything to root for, anything to talk about. Why the hell did we put the Houston Texans on as the matchup last night? Especially with what else we've got going on with the rest of this week. We've got a whole lot of other matchups we could have put on as Thursday Night Football, and instead, they give us the goddamn Houston Texans. They gotta stop with that shit. But anyways, let's get on to the rest of Week 9, since we put that shit game behind us last night. Yes, the Eagles are still the only undefeated team in the league. They are 8-0 on the season, sitting pretty, waiting for their opponent next week. So let's get to the rest of this week's games, starting with all the morning games. We've got the Los Angeles Chargers at the Atlanta, Atlanta Braves. At the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Chargers are a 3.5-point favorite. The Chargers are such a weird team, man. You just never know what you're going to get from them every week. Same with the Falcons, but the Falcons are just not a good team, whereas the Chargers have a lot of potential, but they just don't seem to reach that potential. I do think, though, this week they're going to have a solid game. They're going to put it together because the Falcons are not a good team at all. And I expect the Chargers to run away with this game 27-14. Then we've got the Miami Dolphins at the Chicago Bears. Right now, the Dolphins are a 4.5-point favorite. And the Bears, they're just an awful-ass team. There really isn't anything good to say about this team other than Justin Fields. But unfortunately for Justin Fields, he doesn't have a good offensive line. They did just make a move for a receiver this week and at the trade deadline, but I think that's more of a future-type move rather than an in-season move that's really going to make any waves this year. Whereas the Dolphins, they've put together a solid season. They at least seem like a legit team. And so I actually have Miami winning this one pretty easily, 23-7. Then when you've got the Carolina Panthers at the Cincinnati Bengals, right now the Bengals are an 8.5-point favorite. The Panthers have been a very surprise team so far ever since they fired Matt Rhule. They've had a little bit of a spark to them and a little bit of an edge to them, which isn't really shocking because that tends to happen to teams that even though they're not playing well, they still will play the game well and they will push you to the edge and you don't expect it. And the Bengals, they have not played consistent football at all yet. And last week's game really showed it. I don't think they're going to have the same struggles as they did last week. But I don't think they're going to run away with this one. As a matter of fact, I think the Panthers will make it a close game. But I think the Bengals will just have enough in the end to get the win. And I've got the Bengals winning a close one against the Panthers 24-17. Then the Green Bay Packers are at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Packers are a 3.5-point favorite. Like I said about the Lions, they're a scrappy team that will keep it close. And I do think this is going to be a close one because the Packers have had their struggles. They are on a 4-game losing streak right now, but I don't think it's going to be 5. The Lions are not a good team, and a good team to always get going on a winning streak is against the Lions. So I think the Packers finally have a game where they're able to take away some positive notes on this one. And I think the Packers win this a close one, 28-20. Then the Indianapolis Colts are at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are a 6.5-point favorite. I went back and forth on this game because I'm not sold on either team. I think they're both pretty bad. The Colts, they've had all their struggles at quarterback, just like the New England Patriots have. Neither team knows what the hell they're doing at quarterback. Offensively, the Colts have it together a little bit more, but Jonathan Taylor, he is actually going to be out of this game. And then Nyheim Hines, they traded him away earlier in the week to Buffalo. So that kind of puts their running game in dire straits. And that kind of leaves them pretty anemic on the offensive side of things. And while I don't think New England's that good either, I feel like this is going to be a very sloppy game from both teams. But I think New England will just get the edge in this one just because I feel like they have the slightly better team, plus Bill Belichick is a better coach. So I think New England will get this win 17-14. Then the Buffalo Bills are at the New York Jets. Right now the Bills are a 10.5-point favorite. The Jets are coming off of a pretty tough tough loss from last week. The Bills are coming off of a very big win. The Bills are the best team in the league, though. They're just rolling offensively and defensively. And I think they're going to roll over the Jets in this one. I don't think it's really going to be close. It might start out close, but then the Bills will start to run away with it in the second half. And I've got the Bills winning this one pretty easily, 30-20. Then the Minnesota Vikings are at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Vikings are a 2.5-point favorite. Washington is just not a good team at all, where Minnesota, they only have one loss on the season. And I just think they're playing excellent football right now. And they haven't really been that shaky either. So this is a game where at first glance, I was like, can Minnesota do this one? Or is this going to be one of those where they just overlook Washington and just lose for some reason? But I actually don't think that's going to happen with the Vikings. I think they're going to walk into Washington, and I think their offense is just going to roll 27-14. And then the Las Vegas Raiders are at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Raiders are a 1.5-point favorite. You don't know what you're going to get from either team so far. I do think Jacksonville has their offense put together a little bit more so than the Raiders do. The Raiders are coming off of an absolutely atrocious loss last week where they didn't score 1 point at all. So they really have to get it going. But I actually am leaning towards Jacksonville in this one, not only because they're at home, but I just think they have it together more. They have much more of a blueprint on the offensive side of things. Defensively, they're still holding it down, whereas the Raiders really don't have it together at all. They really, even in their couple of wins that they have, they haven't shown that they even really know what it takes to get a win. So I actually have Jacksonville winning a close one, 23-20. Then we only have a couple afternoon games this week. The Seattle Seahawks are at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Cardinals are a 2.5-point favorite. And Seattle's been the surprise team. They actually are at the top of this division right now. And the Cardinals have been exactly what I expected the Cardinals to be, up and down all season long. They just have not been on the same page at all. And even though that's been the case, I do expect them to put together a pretty solid win here. I think it's going to be a close battle. I think it's going to actually be back and forth, where I kind of see this game coming down to a game-winning drive for the Cardinals. I do think the Cardinals will get the better of the Seahawks in this one. I kind of feel like this is going to be the beginning of the Seahawks' downfall, because I don't really believe in the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks just started off the season hot, and they're going to be that team that starts to fall apart in the second half of the season. And so I do have Arizona winning a close one, 27-24. Then we've got the Los Angeles Rams at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 2.5-point favorite. I just feel like this game is going to be Tom Brady, I'm pissed off, and I'm ready to kick your ass game. Neither team has really put together much of a good game yet. Both teams are still kind of struggling through the season. This actually was supposed to be a much better matchup when the season began, but now both teams are pretty much reeling at this point. But with that being said, they're both playing the same type of football, so it actually shouldn't be that bad of a game. I kind of feel like it's going to start off close, but then Tampa Bay is going to start to pull away with it, and I've got Tampa Bay winning this one 31-20. Then the Sunday night game is going to be the Tennessee Titans at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are an 11.5-point favorite. The Chiefs are coming off of a bye week, and they're always great off of a bye week. I think Andy Reid only in his entire career, coming off of a bye week, only has three losses in his entire career. So that means more than likely the Chiefs are going to win this one easily. I do think they're the much better team, even so. But I think Kansas City's going to win easily over the Titans, 28-14. It is crazy to really think about it, that it's week 9. We are halfway through the season already. It kind of feels like it already just started, and we're already halfway through it. We do have a bunch of teams on their bye week this week. We have the Cleveland Browns on a bye, Cowboys, Denver Broncos, New York Giants, Pittsburgh Steelers, and the San Francisco 49ers are all on a bye this week. All right, and we did have a little bit going on this week with the NBA, starting with the only undefeated team in the NBA right now are the Milwaukee Bucks, who are 7-0. They lead the league in rebounds per game and blocks per game, so they're really just owning every team in the paint. And mind you, Chris Middleton is injured and has not stepped foot on the court yet. So once he gets back from injury, it's safe to say that the Bucks are probably going to be the leaders of the pack, at least right now, for the NBA Finals. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's just having an amazing season still. Right now, he's second in average points per game with 33.6. That's what he's averaging per game, is 33.6 per game, and then 12.7 rebounds per game as well, which is also second in the league. So he's really just having yet another MVP-type season. But another player who's having a phenomenal and MVP-type season in this early NBA season right now is Luka freaking Doncic. I expected him to really explode this year, and he really fucking has. In the first 7 games this season for the Dallas Mavericks, he has had at least 30 points or more. That has only happened 3 other times in this league. He's the third player the third time to ever do it. The other 2 times it's happened in the league above him are, of course, Wilt Chamberlain's done it twice. I think Wilt Chamberlain did it 8 times, so Luka can tie that whenever the next game he plays is. But then after that, Wilt did it, I think, like 24, 25 games. Something like, it was in the 20s where he had like 20-plus straight games where he averaged 30 points or more. But anytime you are on a list with Wilt Chamberlain, and not only is he on this list with Wilt Chamberlain scoring all these points, his team's winning too, which is the most important aspect of all of this. So Luka the Don is having a great start to his season as well. And then not having a great start to his season is James Harden with the Philadelphia 76ers. He unfortunately injured his foot, and he is going to be out for a month. And so far, the 76ers season has been nothing to write home about. It's actually been pretty shaky to start, so that's not a good thing for them. And then in other news, of course, is Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn Nets has been suspended for at least 5 games. He had some, I haven't really looked into it, because to be quite honest, I don't really care. I don't usually care about most of these things that you people get in uproars over. I mean, I have no idea what's going on with Kanye West right now. I have no idea why they raided Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago place. I don't give a shit what's happening with any of the elections right now. I pretty much don't pay attention to the majority of the things you retards get outraged over, because it's stupid, pointless, and idiotic. So with Kyrie Irving, I haven't paid much attention to exactly what's going on to really give an opinion about that aspect of what's going on. But the gist of it is, he tweeted out something about either a book or a movie that's anti-Semitic in nature. He hasn't, like, apologized for it. Well, he apparently did today. But he hasn't disavowed being an anti-Semite. So the Brooklyn Nets have suspended him for at least 5 games. Now, for me, what I'm going to discuss on this subject is, the aspect of Kyrie Irving yet again for, what is this now, the third or fourth season in a row, where he's just missing games for no fucking reason that have anything to do with actual basketball reasons. Right out the gate, here we are. He's suspended 5 games for some shit that he said because he can't keep his mouth shut, or he's just got to be Mr. Philosophical instead of Mr. Basketball. He has now put his team in yet another shitty position because regardless of what the hell happened, not only is he missing games, but he's putting the entire organization and his teammates and coaches and everybody on the Brooklyn Nets in a poor position to now they have to answer questions that have nothing to do with basketball, and they have to talk about this shit that nobody wants to talk about. But way to go, Kyrie Irving. Way to go showing that you, sir, are always a team player. Team comes first with Kyrie Irving, as always, right? Not. And this is exactly why in the offseason, like, I will take Russell Westbrook's bullshit over Kyrie Irving's bullshit any fucking day of the week. That's why I'm so fucking thrilled we did not trade for Kyrie Irving, because this is what you get with him. At least with Russell Westbrook, it's him being selfish on the basketball court. It's basketball bullshit. With Kyrie Irving, it's like, he just thinks he's the smartest dude in the room, and he's really a fucking moron, and he doesn't give two shits and a fuck about basketball, and I don't even know why we talk about this guy anymore. I'm to the point with Kyrie Irving where I'm just like, I feel like he needs to retire because he obviously gives zero fucks about basketball, and it's just annoying and also just fitting that here we are just a couple weeks into the season and Kyrie Irving is now suspended for at least 5 games. Now, he did release an apology, but that kind of shit to me is always... For me, I never believe the apology tour. The apology tour is really for all you idiots who can't accept the truth. You just always need some fake little apology and, oh my God, now everything's better. And to me, it's just like, whatever. He is who he is, and that is what it is. And so he can apologize as many times as he wants. It doesn't matter to me. He's only doing it because he's forced to, and that makes apologies like that hollow, pointless, and worthless. I don't think Kyrie Irving should be kicked out of the league for his thoughts, feelings, and opinions on, the Jewish community or whatever else in his life that he has issues with. I think he should be kicked out of the league because he doesn't give a shit about basketball, period. And I don't even know why he's still here. But he is. And to round out today's basketball talk, if you'll recall, a player named Josh Primo was released pretty abruptly about a week ago from the San Antonio Spurs. And it was never really, there was no reasoning given as to why he was released. First, he was... quote, taking some time off due to, quote, mental health, which we all know is usually a bullshit excuse these days. And, oh, geez, guess what, guys? The real story has now, I was going to say come upon us, but the pun there is, well, let me just get to the story and you'll see why come upon us is probably it is appropriate wording, but not good wording for this story. But basically, Josh Primo, now he really isn't a good basketball player. He didn't have any type of effect on the San Antonio Spurs. Basically, what happened was, he hadn't played at all this season. He was taking the time off for, quote, mental health issues. And then the Spurs randomly just dropped him about a week ago, and there was nothing said. Well, now it turns out that their former sports psychologist has now filed suit against both the San Antonio Spurs and Josh Primo. Not only are they filing suit against them in civilly, but it's also going to be criminally as well against Josh Primo, because apparently multiple occasions Josh Primo exposed himself to the female sports psychologist. She apparently went to the Spurs, complained about it, and they basically fired her for, now they didn't technically fire her, but they basically did what usually happens if you have an issue in these type of instances. They kind of just magically, you aren't getting jobs anymore. And then when your contract runs out, oh, geez, surprise, you no longer get a contract renewal. So she has filed lawsuit against both the Spurs and Josh Primo. And Josh Primo should be expecting criminal charges here pretty soon. The moral of the story is, as usual, all you dudes think all women are just sitting around waiting to suck your motherfucking dick, when this is actually not true at all. Most of us have no interest in seeing your dicks. Most of us don't give a shit about your dicks. And most certainly in working environments, about 90-some percent of us don't give a rat's fucking ass about you and your goddamn motherfucking dick. So keep that shit in your pants, because none of us want it. So we'll see how this turns out. You know, like I said, Josh Primo, he was not like a big-time NBA player. So chances are this is probably not going to be a big story. We're probably not going to hear it's not going to be like Deshaun Watson, where we're going to continuously hear this. Because Josh Primo's probably never going to get another job in the NBA because he was a shitty trash can player who never accomplished anything. If this was like Giannis Antetokounmpo we were talking about, it would be a completely different story. But since we're talking about Josh Primo, a dude nobody, any of us have heard of, we're probably not going to hear much about this story, if anything. I might hear some things since I'm near San Antonio. So, if anything else comes about on this story, I'm probably going to bring it up if it's noteworthy. As usual, dude thinks that, that's what everybody wants is this motherfucking dick. Guess what, Primo? Nobody wants your Primo dick. I doubt it's Primo. It's, probably, gross and full of STDs, I imagine. Anyways, on that note, I hope you all have a great weekend and enjoy the plethora of sports we have to choose from, the end of the World Series. We'll see who's going to be the new crowned champion of Major League Baseball. Is it going to be the Phillies? Is it going to be the Astros? I don't know. We will see, but I will talk to you guys on Monday.